the brain is a very complex organ. If we're only going to feed it simplicity, it's not going to come out with much complexity at the end of the day. And when we don't know, when we don't understand concepts, this creates fear and anxiety, especially in small children. When you're presenting them with more sophisticated ideas, even just more sophisticated words, this is an amazing gift that you are giving your child. Children love to be challenged, and they love to use their brain.
Welcome to Ideas on Trial. I'm your host, Leopold Ajami, and I have with me my co-host, Ricardo Pinto. As you probably know, we are obsessed with ideas. And one of the main reasons why every episode we challenge ideas, and specifically ideas taken for granted, is because we take education seriously. We believe that most education systems lack proper philosophical principles. And for that quest, today we are putting children's books on trial. And our special guest is Sara Ghanoum. She is the author of a children's book series called Tom Alien. And you can find her work on tomalien.com. And she will be helping us explore the value of children's books, their effect on our character development, and maybe challenge some of the conventional views in the culture. It's good to have you, Sara.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here. Thank you.
Sara, who is Tom Alien?
So Tom Alien actually is, so as you said, I write a children's books series about a Tom Alien who comes to Earth and discovers life on Earth just as children discover it. And Tom Alien, the character, was inspired by my daughter, whom, when she was born, gave me quite the culture shock. I had never been around babies before. And she really did feel like a little alien coming from God knows where. She just wasn't understanding anything that Earth was giving her. And she wasn't understanding me. I wasn't understanding her. Everything was lost in translation. And everything was quite dramatic. So any sort of emotion she felt was so overwhelming for her. And the repercussions were really like life and death. So the wailing that happened whenever she couldn't understand her hunger or her tiredness. And so that's where the idea of Tom Alien came about. And as my daughter is growing, I feel like there's so much that she's exploring with her life here on Earth. And so I made my second book about social interactions and about accepting others, the notions of bullying that a lot of children deal with. And my third book was about more about the environment and about the horrors of plastic that us as human beings are sadly contributing. I mean, we're the only contributors of. And after the August 4th explosion in Beirut in 2020, which is the biggest non-nuclear explosion to ever happen in the history of humankind, I wrote a book about Tom Alien experiencing like a sort of a big bang, a cosmic explosion. And in that book, I discussed trauma and the stages of trauma and how eventually we do come out of trauma, not unscathed, but there is a way to feel happy about life again. And so the Tom Alien series is sort of a guidebook on how to survive your first decade on Earth.
I like that. It's very personal. And actually, Ricardo and I were doing a reading and he was, you know, doing all the animation for the big cosmic boom. And I have to say, one of the things that I liked about it, because this is a very tough subject, right? Mm. And I want to ask you before I go on, what's your target? Which age we're talking about?
So my books are more specific to the 5 to 9 age group. because at that age, they're really interested in the illustrations. They love rhymes. They love alliterations, like just the sounding of the words. And there's the curiosity and the questions of all, like my books are geared towards that age and that curiosity.
Yeah.
So, I was, very, very lucky just to mention that I found the illustrator who is extremely talented, Dunya Pantic. She adds so much humor to all the illustrations. And children really do appreciate all the cute little aliens in the background and in the foreground.
Absolutely. And we appreciate that too. But to step backward a little bit, I was saying that what I personally loved about the book is that you explain the concept of trauma and the effect and how we can probably overcome it. But you're not too bloody, if I want to put it this way. You're not scary, right? And that's what I loved about it, that you're educating children on how to deal with this trauma, but it's well-designed, right? It's well-designed, not just in terms of illustration, in terms of writing. And it's designed to translate a certain message about overcoming all of that and that life can be good regardless of what happened. Am I accurate there, or you want to answer?
Yeah, when I was writing the book, I was very nervous about that point because you want to give the children a tool to help them navigate through something as horrible as a trauma, like the explosion that they lived. So I was extremely nervous about that. And I made sure that I got the book in front of child psychologists and pediatricians and teachers before I went ahead and started distributing it online. Because this is a PDF form that was and still is distributed for free. And so I didn't want to turn their trauma and make it more nightmarish. I really wanted to try to simplify it, not simplify it, but put it in a way that would be easy for the kids to understand. The gravity of the situation is so you can't fathom how major it is. And I didn't live through the explosion. I live in Dubai, and luckily me and my children were far from it, although I am Lebanese. So my point is, I was extremely nervous about that fact. And luckily I got very positive reviews. And so thank you. You just gave me more of a conviction that I did the right thing.
I think you did.
But still, you thought it was important to deal with a very, I would say, a very adult theme, which is grief, which is suffering.
Yes.
And sure, most children don't experience suffering at the level that a grown-up does. But, and this was my thinking around children's book when I knew about you, that sometimes whether in children's movies, in children's books, so I'm like you, I don't have experience with children at all. but my perception is that everything is sugar-coated to them. Everything is whitewashed, and there is a big distinction I see between educational material for children, which tends to be plainly silly, and teenager, adult literature. So I guess my question is, do you think that the conventional approach to children's books writing, that they need to be sugar-coated, and what's your reaction to this approach?
So first of all, I really believe, and it's been proven through research, that books are a tool that we can use to help with any kind of situation that we deal in life. Children's books should be used as a tool to help children understand something that to them is just, they've never dealt with before. When they see that a character in a book is dealing with the same kind of trauma that they are dealing with, it gives them a sort of companionship, if you will. It also gives them ideas on how to deal with their specific trauma by seeing other people deal with it. You know, children are they're very self-centric. They live in their own bubble and in their own world. And they're not very familiar with what goes on outside of that bubble. And so as grown-ups or children's book authors, we have a duty to explain to them, and to put it delicately, that there are harsh realities in the world, and we can deal with these harsh realities. We are not doing anyone a service by cushioning their life. So we really, children's books can be an amazing tool in that regard. I personally do not like sugarcoating at all. I feel like it's almost like censorship. It's a form of manipulation. You're not readying anyone for anything. There's no lesson to learn from sugarcoating. Sometimes the reality, like I said, is harsh, but we can be there to help through the negative emotion. We as parents or educators, we can be a support for these children, and we can teach them how we can actually transform these negative experiences into something constructive. We can help show them, help teach them about hope. We can teach them about growth.
Yeah. Sarah, okay, I'm thinking, and that's why I asked you in the beginning about which age you're targeting, because I know that there's difference in age and how kids and even adults process information, right? So there's a big difference between 0 to 3 and 3 to 6 and 6 to 9. So my question, I guess, is what do you think generically the role of children's books, and specifically for the age that you're targeting? But what's the role? Why do we need books for children? And I know that sounds like a silly question, like seriously, we need books, but we must think about the role. Like, why do we need them, right?
So there are many factors of why we need. I think the list is endless. Why we need them? That's how much I believe in the power of books.
But essentially,
but first of all, let's take educationally, just exposing children to vocabulary, to a large area of vocabulary, really develops their mind, develops their educational growth, and it helps them excel in comprehensive skills cognitively. So there's that educational aspect of books. But books also, they can act as mirrors, they can act as windows. So they can be reflective of a situation that the child is living in, and that the child might not have all the tools to deal with whatever they're dealing with. It can create the character can be relatable to the child. So they can really, they can find their voices through these characters. But also, I said books can be like a window, because they can see through. They don't need to experience everything on earth to learn how to deal with everything. They can experience things through these characters. They can live vicariously through them and learn from them on how to deal with them, with problems that they don't necessarily know about now, and learn about them later. But also, it's books show that if I have a point of view about something, it's okay to hear other people's perspectives. So hearing other people's perspective gives me more conviction in my point of view. It really cements my beliefs, or it challenges my beliefs, and it teaches me to broaden my horizons in that regard. So there are, like I said, it's endless, the importance of books for children.
This is gold, what you just said, Sarah. I know you want to ask something, Ricardo, but I think this is gold, because I believe we live in a world where it's so sensitive. Everything is so sensitive, right? Like, we can't speak about that. We can't speak about this. And we're affecting our children, right? Like, we're treating our children in the same way. And I feel that's a very dangerous method to be.
Yeah, in fact, on that regard, I came across a research paper the other day, and I was saying how it was an American paper, so it was reflecting more the North American society. And it was saying how there's a dip in emotional intelligence with today's generation because of the cushioning that we are doing by treating these children as thin glass. So,
But I guess it's a difficult balance to establish for you as an author of children's books, because on the one hand, as you said, you want to make it relatable, and you talk about, for example, how the illustration should be even formed for them, but at the same time, you want to challenge them in their vocabulary, in the ideas you present to them, in the stories, situations, scenarios. So I guess on the one hand, you need to show them something they can understand at the moment, at their current age.
Yes.
But you should push them also.
Definitely. I mean, it goes without saying, the brain is a very complex organ. If we're only going to feed it simplicity, it's not going to come out with much complexity at the end of the day. So yes, it's true. You do give them a base. You start with simple words and simple concepts, but eventually we're going to have to take it up a notch, to like add in a few more sophisticated words. This really just, even adding to your to a child's vocabulary makes the child understand the world around them much better. It's easier to understand emotions, like those nuances in words really are, again, a tool for understanding a lot of complexities around in their world. And when we don't know, when we don't understand concepts, this creates fear and anxiety, especially in small children. So actually, when you're presenting them with more sophisticated ideas, even just more sophisticated words, this is an amazing gift that you are giving your child.
I guess it's good for them to have questions at the moment, to be at a loss. And it's good for them to have the need to be effortful by reading. And
yes,
it's not just experience of the story of you reading to your daughter at night, but perhaps even the discussion you can have after that experience, which I guess is the enduring value of children's books and how they can eventually help us become better adults, in that they can make us intelligent, sensitive beings to the ideas and the stories that matter.
Definitely. And like, to go back to the sugarcoating, for example, I'll give you an example, a personal example with me and my daughter, who was 9 years old. She had read a book about slavery in North America. And so she was really upset and she was very angry at the inhumaneness, the cruelty that humans can actually do. And so you don't want to sugarcoat reality. You don't want to delete history so that the child doesn't go through the discomfort of hearing about it. But at the same time, we were able to focus on the heroes that came out of these stories. We were able to like transform the negative thoughts into more highlighting, again, the concept of creating hope, activism. So there is so much richness that can come out of a book. It's not just about the plot. There's so much to learn from a book. And like you said, the conversations that ensue, they can be so rich. And children love to be challenged. And they love to use their brain. I don't know if I can see it with my children. So
yes, and the shock, the exposure to those kind of scenarios that are unfamiliar, is more memorable.
Exactly.
One thing I always complain about children's stories, specifically in movies, is that the main characters don't die. That sounds a little strong, but of course you see the villain paying for his bad actions, but seldom, especially right now, you see an important central character die. And that's why I love films like The Lion King or even Bambi, where a crucial character died right from the get-go. But of course, the story doesn't leave you there.
Yeah.
Story doesn't leave you with the pain, but with how the character has to process it and the effort he has to put in to outgrow that situation. And that's something that children should understand from a very young age. I don't know if you agree with me, but
definitely,
there's pain in the world.
There is pain, and there are a lot of children who have suffered these losses, and to be able to relate to a character who has also suffered something as major as losing a parent. And to go back to how, like, especially in a lot of the classical children's books, I mean, they end with, and they lived happily ever after, which is like the biggest lie you can really give a child. We lecture them about telling the truth, and yet we end every story with, and they lived happily ever after. So I am all for removing that sugarcoating and not giving it as it is, but like
or at least
easing into it.
Yeah, or at least to make it significant and earned that happily ever after. Because happiness is something you want to achieve in life and you want for your child to achieve in life. But you don't want to convey the message that all you need to do is to wish upon a star to gain that happiness. No, you need to make an effort. You need to be productive, rational, purposeful, and then you can be happily ever after. And you have to put some thought to convey that into a story that is educational, but at the same time engaging for a child.
So I want to raise something here, which I'm grappling with. So from one perspective, I'm seeing that there's a huge responsibility on you as an author, right? So that's one. Two, it seems to me that there's a thin line, or there's sometimes a false dichotomy between the happily ever after and the disaster, right? And I'll give you an example. So to go back to your slavery example, which I think is very important. So and I'm very keen on methodology. There's a method, and I would like to hear your opinion here. So from one perspective, you can write a book about slavery, but the purpose of writing that book is to show your child that the concept of slavery is very old and overcoming it is recent, and that's an achievement, right? So it's an achievement that now we understand that slavery is a bad thing. It's been there for thousands of years, right? So that's one perspective. But another perspective is to say, well, America is a country of slaves, and we still have slaves, and we're still treated as slaves. So you ignore the achievement part of overcoming slavery. You get my point? And that's why I think there's a huge responsibility on you as a children author to direct, if I can put it this way, to direct their perspective and not to destroy their view of life. So happiness is important.
If I could put it in one short sentence, which I guess is your idea, there is a difference between helping them understand and making them take a position about a topic.
And especially the important point to make is that these histories and atrocities that were done by humans, we can't just deny people their history. There should be a lot of literature about the specific history, but there should also be literature that may symbolize stuff like that. For example, this is not a children's book, but like Margaret Atwood's book, The Handmaid's Tale, there were so many people against that book because it incites racism, it incites hatred toward religion. But actually, if you look at the world, there is still racism in the world. There is still hatred of religion. There are genocides happening. The Holocaust is done, but there are still genocides happening everywhere. So yes, there is that point where you don't want to deny people their history, and you want to teach the children from our past mistakes. They say we learn history to learn from our history. So we don't want to blindfold them against that. The symbolism, as opposed, for example, like Leo, what you were saying about making sure that they understand the history versus what we are living in today. This is, I think they go hand in hand. I don't see why they should be different. But I don't know, with corporate America, there's so much to debate there.
I guess my point is, again, there's a responsibility on authors to educate and not indoctrinate. Right.
Definitely. Yes, of course. Brainwashing is like you said, there's a thin line between those two. With me personally, with my children's books, they're very developmental with children. And so I always try to make sure that I do get them in front of professionals before I self-publish. So before I do that, I make sure I put them in front of people who know about these subjects, because I studied chemistry. I never worked in the children's field. I was a teacher once for 1 year, 20 years ago. So I'm I lack extreme confidence when it comes to that. So whenever I do write a book, I need to guarantee that what I am writing is credible and that I'm not giving the wrong message. So that is my nightmare. So
and that's very important, and it's to be celebrated. Well done for that. And I'm raising these issues because, and I want to move now to topics on banning and stuff like that. But I was telling Ricardo, I have a daughter. She's 3 years old, and I had to. And I'm an avid reader. I love books, right? But I had to throw away some books and not read them. And not because I'm censoring them, and not because I disagree with their fundamental ideas, but because some were really destructive. And I'm not going to name who and what, but I'm just going to say that, yeah. So I'm just going to say that some of them, for example, children books, 3 years old, targeting 3 years old on bullying. And the key idea is that the way to overcome a bully is to forgive them, right? And to me, that's a very destructive idea. Now, later on, she can read it when she can really think and you know, use her conceptual faculty. She can read it and have her own judgment. But for me, if I want to read it at that age when she's 3, I'm indoctrinating her. Like, I'm teaching her that that's the way. Because they can't separate between what they're reading and what we're teaching them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see where you're coming from. Now, it depends on the subject matter as well. Yeah. Like, especially with bullying, this is such a sensitive topic, and it's very difficult to deal with when you see your child going through something as severe as bullying. But I don't know, with 3 years, 3 year old specifically, because bullying is a very complex subject. And so you really do have to break it down. You have to explain to the child that this person probably comes from a broken home where he is abused himself. So I don't know, as a 3 year old, how much that concept can be understood. But I am a firm believer in repetition and in explaining even complex thoughts and ideas. So you simplify it. I would simplify it as much as I could, but also build on it with time and make sure the idea, the whole picture is understood. I am not for banning books. I think even books with profanity or vulgar language, I think there's always someone who can relate to that specific character and can learn from that character. So especially for like children who are being bullied at a very young age, they need to see that in books, there is a way to deal with bullies, right? And there is a way to come out being the better person. And so
that's the idea that I'm imagining. If someone is reading a book on bullying, it's about the author's view of bullying, you see, and this is where it gets. That's why I liked what you did with trauma, right? Because you didn't indoctrinate anyone on a specific view that you have, right?
Yeah.
You just showed them a way to think it through.
Yes, because that is very unfair for the reader, which is, I guess, what you're trying to say. I mean, it's very easy to be subjective. It's not so easy to be objective, I think. And that's why it's a group effort to come up with a really solid piece of work to present to children who are the most fragile and vulnerable audience you can have.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the crux of the issue. One of the main, in my view, one of the main responsibility of a writer is to be objective. And, you know, most people think that if you're objective, you remove yourself from the story or your emotion. And that's not true. But it's about really understanding the facts. And I guess that's what you're doing. You're going and asking doctors and psychologists, and you want to understand what's the science behind it. Because, you know, once you understand the science behind it, you can give something to children without brainwashing them. So I really love
exactly
that.
And it's much easier to explain to a child something that is actually more scientific and objective than subjective, because children can come up with the craziest questions and you're really digging a hole for yourself when you're not going about it objectively. So
absolutely. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about banning. I know you said you're against banning and censorship. And I have to say, even if I speak on behalf of Ricardo, we too disagree with banning of any sorts. But I want to hear your opinion. What do you think is the effect of banning books on the culture as a whole, from your experience as an author?
So I think when you're banning books, you're really hiding different voices from children. You're limiting children's curiosity by banning books. You're not letting them see the big picture. This is where subjectivity comes along. This is very subjective behavior when you're banning books. And so, like I said before, when you have an opinion and you're reading different kinds of opinions, things that you don't believe in, this only gives you more conviction in what you believe and what you want to argue for. So I really don't understand the concept of banning books. When you ban books, you're messing with the whole community. Like, as parents, we have a right to monitor what our children see in the media, what social media platforms they get to be on or what they watch on TV. But you can't go to a whole society and say, okay, you are not allowed to read this book. This is just a ridiculous notion. So, and as parents, I mean, we should always be familiar with the books that our children end up reading. And like I said, profanity and vulgar language, it's not a bad thing for a child to learn these words at the end of the day and to understand that these words, to understand what they mean and why it's bad to use them, as opposed to just throwing them in the bin and never exposing your child to anything except for the, like, what's right and what in your mind is right.
Yeah.
And yeah, they absolutely will learn them anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry?
They will learn them anyway.
And yeah, exactly. And just to create this taboo around certain words, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I guess you make them more desirable.
They're more curious about them.
More curious,
exactly.
To learn them. And you lose an opportunity there of teaching them why it's better to, you know, to argue for a point instead of insulting the person. And I think that's the issue with banning books and prohibiting, making them taboo, which I think it's a word, is that it's disrespectful to them. It's disrespectful to not allow them to see that there is trauma in the world, that there is suffering, that there are swear words, that there is such a thing such as sex, and they should learn about it. And perhaps the message that you convey to them is you cannot deal with the world as it is.
Exactly. It's a limitation on their education, on their developmental growth. So,
yeah.
I want to ask you about your opinion of children's books on hard concepts like equality or diversity, which is a trend nowadays. What's your view there?
I mean, I'm all for empowering minority groups and, like, now eradicating sexism, hopefully. I don't see why children should not be exposed to these things at a young age, where we're equipping them to grow up into better young adults than our generation grew up. I mean, I was never given a book about what, as a child, I mean, we were so limited in the resources that we had as children with our books. And I only see them as amazing tools to understand the world around us, to understand the life that, I mean, this is where they're living. This is the planet that we're on, and this is how things are, and understand them from a young age, you're better equipped to deal with these things as you grow older.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. And again, this is a concept I'm always thinking about. My daughter is still young, but I'm thinking about it a lot because it goes back to the point on responsibility, the author's or the writer's responsibility. Because again, like, one of the things we always see in our work, that there's a lot of different viewpoints or philosophies on the concept of equality. If you go now to a meeting and you say equality or diversity, you will discover that each one has his or her own definition. So it's a very broad concept to so many people. Some people look at it from a legal perspective, right? Some people see it as a workplace and opportunities and wages. So it's a very abstract concept that few people are really equipped to understand it, and even though it should be very simple. So, and that's why I keep on circling back to that point on how much really responsibility lies on the writer to really understand these concepts. Yeah. Else it's going to be a kind of a indoctrination.
Like you're just saying that even as adults, we can barely understand these concepts. And that's because we lack the books to teach us about these concepts from a younger age. I think these are imperative books to have.
Yeah. But they can still grasp something about equality at a very young age. It won't be tied to politics necessarily or to the accepted norm, but they can understand that all people have some value.
Yeah,
you should deal with people with words, and you can any child can understand that from a young age, and you can convey that through a story, and I think that's the mastery that is involved in writing stories for children. And the best example I have in mind is one of my favorites, which is Dr. Seuss. He talks about mature, important, I would even say philosophical theme in his works, such as tolerance. But he never comes across as preachy. Yeah. His focus is the story as such. And that leaves it for the children, along with their parents and the teacher's help, to make up their own conclusions.
You know, it's funny you should bring up Dr. Seuss, because actually some of his books have just been banned in the United States. Some of the states, because of some depictions of some illustrations that are racist, or some words that he used that are not very. So this just goes to show that how can you ban Dr. Seuss? So
Now we know we're doomed.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's ridiculous. And again, it's amazing how everything is connected, because we're going back to sensitivity and this fear of, you know what, this fear of offending, right? And as Ricardo said, if we're using words, offend me as much as you want. I don't mind. I always say to think is to offend, right? Because first you're offending yourself because you're challenging your mind, and then you're offending others. As long as you don't use physical force, you can use any word you want, right? And I think that's why we need children's books. And I was telling Ricardo that I learned a lot from the books that I read to my daughter. And I learned a lot. Like, I just told him, he's like, what did you learn? I told him I learned how to be a better wobbly. And he's like, better what? I'm like, wobbly. I learned this word from my daughter. I don't know what it means. And I looked it up, and it's me like shaking your sides and stuff like that. I'm like, that's for one thing. As you said, you learn new words, but also you learn how to condense complex ideas into simple phrases.
That's true. And like, there are even books for babies on like quantum mechanics and thermodynamics, which only shows you that the extreme, most complex ideas can be simplified and they can be discussed with children. Yeah. So definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And anytime I'm speaking in any conference, it became a habit that every time I start with a story about my daughter's books, right? I'm like, wow, they're so inspirational. The creativity is everywhere. Yeah, and I think that's what I love about them.
It's definitely an amazing creative outlet. And this is for me as a children's author, because I just started doing this maybe 5 years ago now. The creative aspect of coming up with children's books it's so rewarding and it's so amazing. So thanks for highlighting that.
Talking about, would you be okay if I read a passage from The Big Cosmic Boom?
Sure, just please go ahead.
So I can ask you a question. So, Tom Alien's heart overflowed with despair, and he now thought that life was just too hard to bear. He lost his sweet home, and he lost a dear friend. It seemed like his world was coming to an end. So he cried to wise alien. He could barely talk of his terrible loss and this horrible shock. So first of all, this is what we've been talking about, that you're talking about loss, you're talking about losing important values and grief that he's going through. But second, I was intrigued by the fact that it's a rhyme. It's beautifully written. So I wanted to ask you first, what do you think is the value of rhyme? And second, how did you come to master it? How do you, did you come to think that it was necessary to learn it?
So my favorite author as a child was Roald Dahl. And Roald Dahl's books, he wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Maybe you're familiar with that. Yeah. And The Witches and BFG. So in a lot of his books, he uses rhyme. And maybe all of his books, he uses rhyme. And those were my favorite part of every book that he ever wrote. And so I've always been attracted to that aspect of children's literature. And I don't know, after, I always used to write poetry as well, nothing worthy of publishing, but I've always enjoyed the melodic aspect of literature. And so when I did when my daughter was 4 years old, which is when I started writing my children's books, I had gone through maybe over 1,000 books, because bedtime reading was sacred in our household. And so the books that I loved the most and that I as an adult enjoyed the most were the ones that did rhyme. And so at that point I thought, I wonder if I had it in me to write a children's book. And for me, talking to children is very difficult. Being simple is difficult, but I find it actually easier to convey a message to a child through rhyme than through spoken verse. It's easier to get the message across. It's easier to catch their attention. I think it's more fun for them.
And if you allow me to speculate here, I think we've been talking about the development, their cognitive development. And I think part of it is to expose them to a different world, which is more stylized, which is more beautiful, and to help to make it a journey and help them enjoy being immersed in that world, a world which is in rhyme, a world which is about aliens, but that still deals with the most important ideas that we need to address for our own lives.
Yeah, and I guess when it rhymes, it sticks. And that's a tool we use when we're doing, you know, like speaking courses and all of that, because really that's the power of rhyming. It helps you remember it and it sticks in your mind, and it forces you, I guess, to be short and concise. So you don't have to explain a lot. And to go back to writing, it helps you to write short sentences. And that's one thing we always see missing, that people tend to write a lot, like big sentences, long sentences, but actually writing is thinking in short sentences. And that's what you're doing in the story, which again, I love. So hooray to that.
Thank you. And one more thing, people, and I include myself in this, people become more pretentious writer as they grow old. And so I think another value of children's books is that it helps you keep your mind and thinking clear and straight.
That's true.
Which is how children understand.
And it's just fun. It's so much fun to rhyme and to read a rhyme. So
yeah. Cool. Our last question is, how do you think reading children's books, whether you are an adult or a child, affect your character development? So let's start with children. How do you think reading these books affect their development, their character development?
So with children, I think primarily reading children's books, it really, it helps create empathy in the child. So you're learning about the world of someone you don't know, you're going into their world and you're experiencing their experiences. And so you're really putting yourself almost in their shoes. So with children's books, it's so important to read books because they really primarily create empathy. And like I said, they grow your vocabulary, and it's just such a developmental process on so many levels. For adults and children's books, you're saying?
Yeah. Like, do you think that if me as a parent reading these books, does it affect me anyhow? Does it build anything in my character?
And yeah, like you said, I mean, children's books are, at the end of the day, a story that we can all learn from. It's just been simplified, but it's also more fun than adult books. I mean, it's a win-win all around for children and adults. It's so entertaining. I used to look for, now my children are older and they read by themselves. But I actually used to look forward to our time together, not only because we're spending quality time together, but also these books. There are so many incredible books that have been written that should be celebrated and enjoyed by everyone.
You know, I on that point, I discovered something again with my daughter, which is these stories, at least if well written, they build her intelligence and her ability to notice what's happening in the world. And I'll give you an example. Since she was born, I always focus on the same methodology of telling her a story, right? Whatever, like I would come up with a story. And the method was, I would establish a character, I would put them in some situation, and then, you know, they speak in a certain way, they act in a certain way, but then something happens. And I introduce a conflict, right? And after that, I introduce some sort of a cure for that conflict. Now, here's what's fantastic, is that my daughter now understands the element of a story. She can't name it, right? She can't name the method. But what's happening is every time I'm telling her a story, she would stop me and tell me, then something happened, right? And she would come up with her own conflict. Yeah. And I love that because regardless what's the story, now I'm triggering her imagination and she's independently now thinking about the conflict and the cure of the story. So, and I find that fascinating. And I have to say, I'm learning a lot from it.
You're developing her analytical skills and interpretive skills. It's fascinating to watch the effects of books on children.
Okay. Any last words, Sarah?
Just keep reading, whether it's children's books or adult books. There's nothing you can lose from reading. So.
There's a lot to gain, absolutely.
There's a lot to gain, yeah.
Let me ask you, what's your latest project? What are you working on?
So I am in the works of writing my fourth book, which usually I don't talk about it until I'm done. So I am growing the Tom Alien series. And there are always fun projects that come up. So you just have to wait and see.
And where can our audience find you?
So my books, you mean?
Yeah, my books, are you on Instagram?
Amazon. So on Instagram and on Facebook. And I'm very bad with technology, as you know.
Okay.
So I am yet to figure out online selling, but it is on some website. It is sold on some websites, but all the information is found on my website, tomalien.com. Instagram.
Which is also Tom Alien.
Which is Sarah Ghanoum, my name.
Sarah Ghanoum, double N, right?
GHANOUM.
Awesome.
Yes.
Sarah, thank you so much. That was very refreshing and very fulfilling.
Thank you.
We definitely talked about important things. As Ricardo and I always say, when we're having these conversations, we feel that we're talking about the most important thing in the world. So, thank you for that.
Thank you for thinking to invite me. This was so much fun.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye-bye.